In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You probably noticed the theme of the Sabbath in our first reading, our gospel reading, and in the collect of the day. And on Sunday, that theme will also be apparent in our hymns. Whenever Christians think about the Sabbath, the question arises, why do Christians worship on Sunday rather than on Saturday? And as with many things, the answer is complicated. In Genesis, we read the narrative of God creating the heavens and the earth. We are told that God rested from his work on the seventh day, that is Saturday, the Sabbath day, and made it holy. In the Ten Commandments, God gave Moses to his people, the children of Israel. The third commandment says to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Further revelation from God would instruct them more concerning what they could and could not do on the Sabbath. By the time of Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees had added so many Sabbath laws that they made up to what was already forbidden on the Sabbath. Sabbath keeping became legalistic, oppressive, and burdensome. What God intended to be a day of rest and reflection for his people had become more difficult and more restrictive than the regular work days. Jesus reminded his contemporaries that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God puts people first. Jesus said he came to relieve those who were heavily burdened and to give rest to the weary. That's all of us, isn't it? Aren't you simply often worn out mentally, physically, and spiritually? Jesus came to give us Sabbath rest. Moreover, Jesus did good works on the Sabbath, such as healing the sick, which upset the Pharisees. How could anyone be upset by giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf on the Sabbath? There is no better day to do good. When I was growing up, and perhaps some of you too, there were Sunday blue laws prohibiting most businesses from opening on Sundays, except for those that were deemed essential. My mother worked in a drugstore, and they could sell prescriptions and over-the-counter medications, but they couldn't sell cosmetics or candy or other sundry items. I'm not an advocate of a legalistic interpretation of the Sabbath, but it sure would be nice to have less competition for worship and family activities. It is more than a coincidence that Sunday, the first day of the week, was the day of Christ's resurrection. First, Jesus rested in the tomb on the Sabbath following Good Friday. Then he rose on that first Easter Sunday. It was also a Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, that the Holy Spirit descended from heaven to empower the apostles. Did you ever notice that St. John received the vision we call the revelation on the Lord's Day? Throughout the New Testament, Sunday is referred to as the Lord's Day, the day on which Christ's people would gather to break bread, that is, to celebrate Holy Communion, and to tell the Jesus story, that is, to preach and teach. When we worship on Sunday, we are following the way of Christ's first followers. They set an example for us until Christ comes again. Here's another way to look at it. The Jews had their Sabbath on Saturday, the seventh and last day of the week, to look back over what God had done. Christians have their Sabbath on Sunday, the first day of the week, looking forward to what God will do. If you look back again at the creation account in Genesis, you will notice that the first 6 days' work all end with an evening giving closure to that day. But not so on the seventh day, the Sabbath. The Sabbath does not really end. It expands into a new day, an eighth day of the week, the new day of Jesus' unprecedented resurrection and the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. These are gifts that had ever, forever changed humanity as we know it, ushering in a new era of grace, a whole new stage of history not enslaved to the past. In our evangelical freedom, the freedom Christ has won for us, we are free to worship on Sunday. Luther explained the holy commandment to keep the Sabbath in his small catechism this way. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn from it. Luther recognized the importance of God's word as the major portion of the Sabbath. He recognized how important it is for the Christian individual to hear God's word for one's instruction and comfort, and how important it is for the church to proclaim the word to the non-believer to bring people to faith in Christ. A while back, after some conversation with some folks who are adamant that Saturday is the only day for worship, I dug a little bit deeper into what Luther had to say about the proper day to worship. Surprisingly, he said that in our freedom in Christ, we could choose any day as our day of worship. But why be different just to be different? By the way, if you can't attend our regular Sunday worship services, you are always welcome to come to these recordings of the services on Thursdays at 6 p.m. We often talk about the importance of church attendance, but sometimes we forget why it's important. Worship is not entertainment. Once I read about a place in San Francisco where a group of former Christians would gather to sing hymns and do liturgy, not because they believed in God, but just because they liked to sing hymns and they thought the liturgy was beautiful. Maybe there are really many such places, but most of them are just not as honest about their purpose. Worship is also not a place where we are only hanging out with our friends. Fellowship is wonderful, but our primary purpose is to commune with Jesus, to talk and listen to him. We do good deeds for others here, but even charity is not our exclusive purpose. The United Way, the Lions, lots of other groups do good deeds too. We are here to console tortured consciences with the gospel and to call lost souls to faith through God's word. Anything else is a bonus, provided it doesn't get in the way of why we're really here. Along with hearing the word, our Sabbath is to be a day of rest. Lutherans tend to be very hard-working people. Leisure does not come naturally to us. Certainly, there is a blessing in being industrious. Sloth is still a sin. But we can take our work ethic too far and in the wrong direction. Some people reason, if God loves me, he will bless me materially and financially. So I'll work hard and acquire a lot to show the world how much God loves me. He loves me more than he loves others. We all know that's wrong in so many ways, but it creeps into our thinking sometimes. If that statement was true, then why have some of the greatest saints in history and some of the greatest saints that we've known personally struggled along at the subsistence level? Martin Luther's time may have been a bit different than ours. Then people may have been more concerned about working hard to impress God, to earn their way into heaven, than they were to earn the almighty dollar, but the results were similar. As a monk, Luther did without physical comforts and spent long hours in confession and prayer trying to win God's approval. While some monks took pride in their achievements, Luther knew that whatever he did, it was not enough. He rediscovered then that it's not our hard work, neither the labor of our hands nor the labor of our spirit, that gets us God's salvation. It was the hard work that Jesus did on the cross that captured that for us. What is salvation like? It's rest. I'm not saying that heaven is floating on clouds playing harps all day, but heaven will be a much needed break from the physical strain and the emotional futility that so often accompanies our work. It's knowing that we are constantly, forever provided for, and that we need to earn the way to take care of ourselves. Life with Christ in eternity is what the Sabbath here should be a preview of, a day of refreshment and relaxation, a day without cares or fears, a day to be wholly in the presence of Christ, who is the Word of God. And on the Sabbath day, we enjoy the blessings He brings.